This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Just a few moments. This is Worldwide Wave.
Worldwide Wrap. LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Now, the story I'm going with tonight is not a new one as far as the theme. So I've picked this week the next chapter of the Israel Falau.
It's a long book.
It's a long book, yes. But the story here tonight is an interesting global theme, one might say, which is the old argument around protection of religious freedoms and freedom of speech, which I find an interesting dynamic happening with this. And I don't lack sympathy for that argument, because I believe we have to maintain integrity regarding protection of freedom of speech.
But this has really come to light this week because religious leaders have made this a political issue. They've written to the Prime Minister and the opposition leader.
Yes, we've had, and they've written, interestingly, two different versions of their script to the two different leaders. Clearly, as Scott Morrison to them is more sympathetic to their views, most likely. Now, it's come from the Presbyterian, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist and Apostolic leaders who've asked that they're concerned about where this is heading and the impossible threats to religious freedoms and freedom of expression.
Did they by chance say that Israel Falau was wrong for posting what he said and wrong for making such horrible comments?
No.
Just checking.
No. And that's a really good point, because, it's about, you could say that he's got the right to say his views, but you could still admit that it causes hurt, as Ian Roberts
has come out
saying, this has real consequences for people in our community, and it's hurtful, and then there's, of course, the whole issue, this is just really a contractual issue, and that, the organisation.
It's actually an employment issue, a workplace employment law issue, but that's not the way the religious leaders are seeing it. So I think there's lots more chapters to play out here.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think they're playing on the election, obviously. This is their opportunity, their one opportunity to get out something from either side of politics, especially on the conservative side, to actually make a stand and say, vote for us.
What's your story, Ian?
My story was just a follow-up from Taiwan, that the marriage bill in Taiwan is moving on, but quite slowly, and that needs to come into place by, I think it's the 25th of May.
Yeah, next week.
The proposals, we talked about it a bit last week, that there are multiple proposals before Parliament at the present time. From what I can read, and I haven't read everything out there, maybe someone can message us in and tell us what they know of what's happening there, but it doesn't seem actually there's going to be equality before the law. So my question is this worth it? Is this the right argument to be having if there's not going to be equality before the law? If this is going to mean that inequality in marriage is ensconced permanently into law or for a long time in Taiwan, is that actually how we should be treating equality?
It's a tough one, this one, because they're on a deadline. If the laws aren't passed before the 24th of May, then marriage equality becomes the law automatically. So they're trying to rush through these laws, but they're actually rushing through a law that, you're right, it doesn't use the word marriage. It actually uses permanent unions. And so they're trying to play off the conservative groups and saying, oh, it's not really marriage.
Yeah, and I'm understanding here that this wouldn't recognise international same-sex marriage. So this is pretty problematic to me. And this comes back to, I think, time and time again, what we see is, when do you accept that you have to compromise?
When do you second best?
Yeah, yeah.
The reverse side of that is this would be the first country in Asia to, you know, recognise as much as possible, as much as they're doing in marriage, like same-sex marriage. So would that be a catalyst for other countries in Asia?
Yeah, and I had my money on Thailand. I really did. But, you know, Thailand, you know, it was very close. It looked like with last year's developments in Taiwan that it was going to be Thailand. Now it looks like it could be back to Taiwan. So it's a bit of a, I don't know if there's someone out there that's got, you know, odds on which country.
There's bound to be someone out there. But civil unions was also the first step taken by a lot of countries.
The
UK took civil unions first before moving into marriage.
I think the problem for me is that marriage equality can be the totemic issue that we can put so much energy into. And I think there are other human rights issues that relate to LGBTI people in these countries.
Yeah.
And we need to get that balance right and to recognise that outside as well, we should be supporting the rights of trans people, of intersex people,
or
in the workplace, in all sorts of environments, not just around marriage.
The most basic rights, like Indonesia, that's where my story comes from this year. Gee, I've been trying hard to find good news out of Indonesia. Saw this story and I thought it was really interesting that there's a gay community who have found their safe place to express who they are and find friends, and it's on Twitter.
What?
So they've basically, with using faceless profiles, they've been able to be out. They've been able to, you know, share their thoughts on LGBT issues and build networks with people by keeping their anonymity. So, you know, we're sort of here in Australia used to bagging people out if they don't show their face pic and all that sort of stuff. But here they've actually used it as a positive. I thought that is just fascinating.
That is interesting because we do hear, as you say, so much bad press, so to speak, about Twitter because, you know, it's usually this is a realm in which people use vitriol and attack each other and use the anonymity of these platforms.
It's normally vicious, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we've got an actual, it's a safe place because that anonymity has a flip side, yeah.
So I'm guessing if I understand this story, it's that if you sign up for a Twitter account, you can be anonymous. Whereas if you sign up for Facebook, even now, Facebook wants your real name and surname. And if they don't have that, they can take that account down. So this could be a different type of environment. But I just can't see how you'd be protected from the trolls.
Now, a message in on 0427JOY949 from Brad. It's on the Israel Folau story. I know people within our community who work within religious organisations who are effectively gagged from expressing LGBTIQ views against their religious organisations. So how can they argue other organisations or employers cannot have the same types of clauses protecting the image of their organisation? Like it, Brad. Excellent point. Excellent point.
That's a really good one.
Well, my news story, a bit of a sad one, really, because it's Doris Day passing away at the age of 97.
Good innings.
Very good,
very
yes.
Good innings.
Now, she is obviously fondly remembered for her on-screen partnership with gay actor Rod Hudson, although at the time he wasn't out. And had a few hits, Que Sera Sera, and Secret Love, which came from Calamity Jane, which some people have taken to as an anthem for hiding your secret love.
Indeed, and it was that whole woman being manly, lesbian type thing. But I think the thing that really sticks in my mind was the when Rock Hudson did show the world that he had AIDS, and he was really the first big name person to put his face to the AIDS epidemic, and she stood right by him. So here were these two glamorous people from the Hollywood 50s and 60s, and people were shocked by how AIDS was affecting Rock Hudson, but she was there standing with him saying this is okay. So
yeah, she was a lifelong Republican. Go figure. Well, people are funny, aren't they?
That probably made a difference because, you know, remember that Reagan wasn't talking about it at all until that point.
She will be sadly missed.
Yeah.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.